Are you wrestling with questions that really matter but just keep coming up empty or perplexed? Well, you've come to the right place. Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff, host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, is committed to equipping you with answers that have stood the test of time. Our aim is to help you mine the Bible for all its wealth, so you can share those riches with a skeptical world still hungry for spiritual truth. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. You can also contact us via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I read an article in our local newspaper today that refers to Franklin Graham and the fact that he was banned from appearing in a Liverpool, England arena. Why was he banned? Well, according to Liverpool Mayor Joe Anderson, it's because Graham will purportedly bring with him hatred and intolerance. Thus, says Mayor Joe, it's right that we have banned from the arena Franklin Graham and, of course, his religious sect. Now, Graham's response, I thought, was simple. It was straightforward. He said God defines homosexuality as sin. But then he goes on to clarify that according to God, all are sinners, and he includes himself. And, of course, I could include myself very easily as well. Commentary on the mayor's decision. Well, it ranged from those who viewed the Graham ban as McCarthyism to those who expressed gratitude for stopping that vile character who personifies bigotry and hatred. And that raises a question. Does quoting the Jewish biblical injunction against the practice of homosexuality as a reproach against God's design for human sexuality constitute hatred? Does it constitute intolerance? Moreover, does quoting the New Testament canon with respect to the parameters within which human sexuality is to be expressed, is that a warrant for designating someone a vile character? I think we do well to recognize that God does not condemn same-sex sexuality in an arbitrary or capricious manner. Rather, if you read the Bible carefully and consistently, you will see that God defines the borders of human sexuality for the benefit of human beings. No hate, no bigotry, pure love. It doesn't take an advanced degree in physiology to appreciate the fact that the human body is not designed for same-sex sexuality. And to tell the truth in this regard is not vile, it's virtuous. It's not antiquated. It's not irrelevant. It's physiologically and psychologically relevant and noteworthy, particularly in the context of maladies that range from gonorrhea to chlamydia to herpes, hepatitis A, hepatitis B. And to keep silent in the midst of a medical and mental holocaust might more legitimately be considered homophobic and hateful. If you quote the Bible as Franklin correctly did, if you quote its warnings against same-sex sexuality, that is not a basis for censorship and exclusion from public venues in England, and it shouldn't be a basis for exclusion anywhere else in the free world. The Bible's crystal clear respecting gender-bending activities. tolerance, as I said many times, when it comes to personal relationships is virtue, but tolerance when it comes to falsities is a travesty. Good for Franklin to not yield his conscience to the subtle lure of political correctness, to deny natural law, ultimately is a, well, it's a mortal blow to the foundations of free and properly functioning societies. In the latter half of the 20th century, the battle for gay equality was all but won. But after that battle was won, a morphing began. GLB became LGB, and later T was added. Then came Q. And thereafter, the gay alphabet added such letters as I for intersex and P for pansexual or polysexual, K for kink, which is yet another variety of sexual orientationalism. A decade or so ago, almost nobody was supportive of gay marriage. I mean, think back to Hillary Clinton, who supported the Defense of Marriage Act, which tried to prevent gay marriage from becoming possible in the U.S. Yep, that was Hillary Clinton. Today, same-sex marriage has morphed into, well, a foundational principle of modern liberalism, or was hardly disputed historical moments ago, is now a cause for slinging around such epithets as bigot, homophobe, sexist, misogynist, well, you know all the names, transphobe, even racist. We are now even mandated to oblige such outrages as giving children drugs to stop them from going through puberty. Today, at the very earliest ages of human development, little children are encouraged to question their biological sexuality. And that, we might as well say it, it has led to a virtual holocaust. And even transgender activists agree. They agree that the best studies will indicate that 80% of children who experience gender dysphoria grow to identify with and embrace their biological sex. Let me say that one more time. Transgender activists agree that 80% of children who experience gender dysphoria grow to identify with and embrace their biological sex. As the executive director of the American College of Pediatricians, Dr. Michelle Critella, has well said, and I have the quote in front of me, so I'm going to quote this directly. She said, "Transition affirming protocol is child abuse. Professionals are using the myth that people are born transgender to justify engaging in massive, uncontrolled, and unconsented experimentation on children who have a psychological condition that would otherwise resolve after puberty in the vast majority of cases." Here you have the executive director of the American College of Pediatricians making this statement. And this statement has been made by many professionals in the field. The morphing continues. The question is, are we going to morph along? Are we going to move with the current, with the tide? Or are we going to stand against the winds of change and stand for the eternal truths given in the Word of God? Because if we do, if we stand for truth no matter the cost, we will be standing for the principles that God has laid down in His Word, principles that God knows the best about because He created us in His image and His likeness. I'm coming to a station break. On the other side of the break, I will go directly to the calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Be right back.
New York Times bestselling author J.W. Richards wrote Eat Fast Feast to help readers revolutionize their physical and spiritual health with a comprehensive guide to intermittent fasting that invites Christians to recover the fasting lifestyle that our spiritual ancestors maintained for over 1,500 years. Find out why modern science and ancient Christian practices support fasting for healthy living, and begin 2020 by healing your body and feeding your soul. To receive your copy of Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-giving outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
The book Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul is a true gift to Christians eager to grow spiritually as they get healthier physically. What makes this book unique? J.W. Richards draws on the ancient church's centuries-old practice of intermittent fasting as a way of life in Christ unknown to many modern Christians. Most books that promote diets focus solely on the physical. Eat Fast Feast is different because it isn't merely promoting a diet. It's a 6-week plan for a powerful paradigm shift and genuinely holistic health that could make this the healthiest year of your life. To receive your copy of Eat Fast Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Let's go to Adam in Stockton, California, listening on the web. Hi, Adam.
Hello, Adam. Yeah, that's me. Yes. I spoke to you a few times over the years. I just had a question about the Big Bang, and if that was the way God created the universe in the first place, at what point did sin enter the universe to create chaos?
Yeah, well, there are various answers that you can give to that. First of all, in terms of Big Bang cosmology, I think the Bible certainly can be held in concert with Big Bang cosmology. The reason being is the Big Bang presupposes a Big Banger. It presupposes a beginner. So it is in concert with what the Bible says in the beginning. But with respect to natural evil, the church fathers believe that the fall of spiritual beings, Satan and a third of his hosts, of the angelic hosts, can explain natural evil. There are many other explanations that have been given over the years as well. But certainly, as I started out saying, Big Bang cosmology can be harmonized with the account that we have in the book of Genesis.
Sure. It's sort of like natural phenomenon, like earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes. Is that part of sin, or is that just part of what God can?
Well, it can actually predate sin in terms of humanity, but not predate sin in terms of the angelic creatures that God created. In other words, the angelic fall can account for natural evils in the opinion of many of the early church fathers. But there are many other explanations that can be given in this regard as well. I think it's natural for us as human beings to see time's arrow from a forward perspective. But I think we do well to recognize that God's infallible truth is not always presented in chronological fashion. You know, for example, the advent of the last Adam not only atones for sin thousands of years after the advent of the first Adam, but the last Adam, I'm talking about Jesus Christ, is biblically portrayed in Scripture as a lamb that is slain from the creation of the world. I actually have an entry on this that goes into some detail in a book that I wrote a number of years ago called The Creation Answer Book. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Lee in St. Petersburg, Florida, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Lee.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is about Luke 22:36, and I'll just read a brief verse. It's my version is from the New King James, and it says, "Then he said to them," this is Jesus speaking to the apostles, "but now he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack, and he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." And I guess my question on this is this to be read literally? And if it's not, if it's an allegory, usually each element in an allegory has a meaning to it. And so I can't parse this out.
Yeah, well, I think the context in this passage is self-defense. In other words, it's a harsh world out there. But the sword should not be used to usher in the kingdom of God by force. So self-defense is certainly commensurate with a biblical worldview, but never is it permissible to advance the kingdom by sword. And I've often said, and I wrote this in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, is that the Christian faith always advanced by word if it was in concert with the teachings of Jesus Christ. It is Islam that for 14 centuries advanced by sword. Now, the sword, and you can go back to Matthew chapter 26, I believe, on this, the sword can be used for civil purposes. But the sword, again, can never be used for spiritual purposes. It can't be used as a means by which to advance the kingdom of our Lord on this earth.
So a follow-up question is, you know, usually, I guess when God, Jesus, is trying to make a point, you see a theme that you know, flows through the entire New Testament, where a subject is brought several times through different books of the Bible, especially the Gospels. But what I find interesting is this sort of, I guess I'll just frame it all as self-defense concept. Personally, from my study, I don't see this, you know, occurring in multiple places throughout the Bible. So is this a one-off, or?
Well, it's not a one-off. As I mentioned, I mean, the whole idea of a sword is communicated in various places. If you go to Matthew 26, that's the famous passage where Jesus tells Peter to put your sword back in its place, for all who draw the sword are going to die by the sword. So again, Peter in this context is trying to advance the kingdom of Christ, which he still thought was an earthly kingdom. He was trying to advance it with a sword. Jesus, of course, points out that the sword is unnecessary because we have spiritual power as a resource as Christians. So on the one hand, there is a teaching that that you can defend yourself. Self-defense is a biblical maxim. It is a biblical principle. On the other hand, it certainly is not a way in which you can, by an aggressive sense, advance the kingdom of the Savior. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Becky in New Hampshire, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Becky.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I listen to you every night on my way home from work.
Oh,
and
thank
I'm glad
you.
That you are doing much better health-wise.
Thank you so much.
My question is, how do we respond as Christians to someone who believes that a person is born homosexual, gay, lesbian, however you want to put it? Is there some sort of scripture that I can provide to that person?
Well, I don't think you have to necessarily apply a biblical maxim to this at the outset of a discussion. I think that you can question the assertion. There's no unanimity whatsoever about a gay gene or the notion that you're born with a proclivity towards homosexuality. That's an inference that people make, but it certainly is not a proven verity, and there are many in the homosexual community who would dispute that very fact. In fact, I'm reading a book right now. I think it's titled Madness in Crowds, or The Madness of Crowds, where people sort of have this herd mentality. They hear it, they repeat it, and they repeat it over and over again, and it becomes a maxim. It becomes a truth or a truism. But there's no consensus on that whatsoever. But even if there were such a thing as a gay gene, the question is, are you to act in concert with your proclivities, or are you to put a rein on your proclivities? I mean, I, as a heterosexual, may have a proclivity for lust. If that is the case, then I have to put a rein on that. I have to rein in those proclivities, because that is what we're commanded to do in Scripture.
Okay. So it's kind of like fornication, so to speak. Even if
well,
you have the desire, you don't have
would,
to act
that,
on it to a point.
Well, that's an example. There are many different examples that you can use, but that would be an apt example, yes.
Okay.
There's a great book that deals with this. The book that I just referenced, I've only gotten through a few chapters of it so far, so I don't know if I'd recommend it to you or not. And it's written from by someone that does not have a biblical worldview. But there is a book that Joe Dallas wrote, and it's titled "Speaking of Homosexuality: Discussing the Issues with Kindness and with Clarity."
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You got it. And unfortunately, I can't take any more callers today. Those who are hanging on, if you give me a call tomorrow, we'll answer your question tomorrow. Sorry I didn't get to you today. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. We cannot do what we do without you. We're willing to speak truth to power. We're not willing to be politically correct. And we're willing to do that no matter what the cost is, and sometimes the cost is substantial. So again, thank you for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You're making a difference all around the globe, all around the world through our 24/7 outreaches. You can support us in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Like millions concerned about their health, Hank Hanegraaff had never really known which diet plan to trust, but he's found the secret to healing the whole of you, body, soul, and spirit. Eat Fast Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul by J.W. Richards reveals that God is interested in more than just our physical health. He's interested in healing the whole of us. Eat Fast Feast outlines a plan found in the ancient Christian practice of intermittent fasting that can help you experience deeper life in Christ. To receive Eat Fast Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, a Christian guide to fasting, simply visit equip.org. That's equip.org. And make a gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.